sure to actually hit record this time. All right. Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Pack a Day podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on what is possibly the most exciting NFL date of the calendar year outside of opening day and maybe the Super Bowl, and that is draft day. Welcome to draft day, everybody. I am Dan Kotnick. My partners today to take a look at everything Packers draft-wise and get us ready and primed for the opening of the draft are my partners Chris Schimmel and Matt Fraley. Guys, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Oh, doing great right now. Good, happy Easter.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Dan, probably the draft is the most important non, like, 60 minutes of play type thing, where it's like anything off the field, it's got to be the most important, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. I think you summed that up pretty well. The most impact, at least, maybe not if you want to say argue about importance, but at least it's the most impactful day. Off of the field thing. It's a huge day, for everybody. And we've been doing a great job here at the Pack a Day podcast of getting you guys ready for it. And today, we're just going to mock draft everything. We want to go 7 rounds for the Packers, take a look at the picks, where they stand, who we want to see with these picks. So as just a quick refresher before we jump into the whole mock draft stuff, a refresher of what the Packers have got going into today. So obviously the big ones, 2 picks in the first round at 12 and 30, and then pick number 44 in the second round, 76 in the third round, 2 picks in the fourth round, 108 and 112, so a nice little sandwich there. And then the 140th in the fifth round, 2 picks in the sixth round, 172 and 182, and then round that out in round 7 at 204 overall. So overall, guys, we're going to focus a lot on those first couple of ones, especially the first round. Before we jump into need and everything, this, I want to throw a hypothetical out at you guys while we're discussing where the picks are going to land. It's a unique situation this year to have 2 first-round picks, but let me throw a hypothetical at you. Would you rather have 2 first-round picks where the Packers do right now, or would you trade that for a top 5 pick overall? I mean, not a trade scenario, but rather setting yourself up going into the draft, would you rather have a top 5 or 2 first-round picks?
I'd go with the 2 first-round picks right now. Yeah, first 2 round picks, for sure.
I got to agree with that. Man, that's tough, though. I mean, one, because I'm just thinking of the guys you could get, on defense specifically, Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen. Like, you're for sure getting one of those guys. But I think of, definitely the men we're going to be talking about in this draft, this first round, the first 44 picks, I would like to have 2 of those guys. So I got to agree with Dan as well.
No, that's all right. Well, that's the situation we're looking at, 2 first-round picks for the Packers. So, obviously, we discussed this a little bit. A lot of the other guys did as well. When free agency hit, the Packers made a lot of un-Packer-ish moves to go and address some big needs before the draft. And so we go into this draft with kind of an open book that you can kind of write whatever narrative you want to start off with. So, going into the draft, biggest needs that you would like to see the Packers address. Maybe not what you think they will or what the biggest needs are, but where would you like to see them address, at least in the first round, Matt?
I think it's one of those situations where the Packers set themselves up great in free agency. They're not desperate. That being said, I think it's impact on defense. I would more push towards defensive end, outside linebacker, than I would cornerback or middle linebacker. But I think it definitely has to be someone that can impact the game. I'd be okay also with a safety, as we discussed 2 weeks ago. The safety class is extremely deep with a lot of playmakers back there. But if I had to, I've had my flag in the dirt for an outside linebacker, and I'm sticking with it, even on the day of the draft here.
And Chris?
Definitely with the outside linebacker, pass rusher. You know, it always looking at past drafts to kind of see what you're getting, but because no more Ted Thompson, it's a little bit more difficult to think, oh, well, you know, we've only had one draft from Gutekunst, so what's he going to be like? Because, you know, like Matt said about outside, inside linebackers in the first round, you know, ever since they drafted A.J. Hawk fifth overall in 2006, the Packers have drafted 11 inside linebackers. None were selected in the first two rounds. So it's going to be interesting to see how Gutekunst is different from Thompson, how he's going to draft, how he's going to really play. Because the last time the Packers had two first-round draft picks, they got B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews. So I still see them going defense with the first, at least the number 12 pick. I see them going defense specifically at pass rush.
Yeah, I think, Chris, you hit on the inside linebacker position. I think that's one that's getting kind of overlooked as a need or a place that the Packers can shore up because, I was talking with some family about, draft stuff, and we were trying to think. I mean, we love A.J. Hawk, and A.J. Hawk is an all-time great Packer, I think, when it comes to that inside linebacker position. But really, when's the last time that the Packers had an inside linebacker that you looked at and was actually a feared kind of force in the middle? And, for us, it was Nick Barnett was kind of that last guy, and that goes back to Mike Sherman era. So that's been a long time for them to grab. And with the pick that they have, at number 12 is an impactful position or impactful place for them to go and get that guy. So you guys go defense. Let's just jump into this head first. We go into the 12th pick. Matt, I know you and I have been using a couple of draft simulators to take a look at stuff and mock out how we took. So I'll start with you. When you started off in your mock draft, what kind of position were the Packers in, and who did you go with at 12?
For sure. And I'm a little late to the party with the mock drafts. I saw some guys and people doing them back in February and March, and I was one of those where, I like to do some research, figure out, where things are stand. Let's figure out what your team actually does in free agency before you do that. So I just started this last week. And going into it, I wanted to do it on a couple different platforms. So I did it on, I believe it's called firstpick.com is the one you told me about, Dan. The other one I did was on FanSpeak. So I wanted to get a variety there. And what the trend I was seeing is going into 12, some of those high defensive players were already off the board clearly. Also, some guys I was seeing that I didn't expect to be there were the likes of all of the safeties were there. But, Hockenson was there about 50% of the time at the tight end spot. When I did it on FanSpeak, rarely was I seeing Brian Burns there, who is the guy I want the Packers to take at 12.
Yes.
That Chris agrees clearly, Dan. that's who I really, really want. I was a little disappointed. Like I said, when I was doing more on FanSpeak, and he's not there as often. So I'm like, ooh, geez, where do I go? So if I had a second choice, I would probably say a T.J. Hockenson, just because I don't know if you're going to get another talent like that in the future. But I think the tight end class is big enough that at that 30 and 44 spot, you could make a move. So I'm going to stick with Brian Burns here. I think, as Chris and I said before we started, that's the biggest need. I think Brian Burns fits that role perfectly. There's other talent on the board when I'm selecting too, but I think that's who I'm going to go with. And, I do think it's one of those situations, guys, where we're going to go back to the Ted Thompson mindset where, we're not drafting for need. We're drafting for best available. I think 12 actually could be more of that theory because there's going to be a lot of names on the board still there. There's going to be those teams, maybe the Redskins, the Dolphins, the Giants, who are going to trade back up into the top 10 or get into the top 10 again and want to take their quote-unquote franchise quarterback. And I make sure those quotes are very, very bolded around franchise quarterback because I don't know if there really is one in this draft outside of, maybe a Haskins, maybe a Kyler Murray, but someone's going to trade up to get Locke, I would think, or Daniel Jones or whoever it may be. So talent's going to slip to 12. And I would be okay if it was someone that, you know, we wouldn't normally expect the Packers to draft. Maybe it is a cornerback. Maybe it is an offensive lineman. Maybe it is, you know, a middle linebacker that we didn't expect. But for all intents and purposes, I'm going Brian Burns at 12.
Very solid pick. Chris, your mock draft, who do you have at 12?
I actually had the same thing. I had Brian Burns, defensive end out of Florida State at number 12. And then just in case for a 1B, because you know how many times you hear people say, well, he's not going to be there at 12. So I picked Devin White, even though I know it's crazy to think inside linebacker. You haven't had a first-round inside linebacker since A.J. Hawk in 2006. But, you know, I really think if you swing for the fences and try to get a Luke Kuechly-esque kind of dominant first-round inside linebacker, I was going with Devin White. So I'll throw him out there just to be a little different than the Brian Burns.
Well, I love both of those picks. And the thing with my – when I was, doing a lot of mocks, Devin White going a lot earlier than I, could take at 12, and, Matt running in the same position with Brian Burns. So the thing that I noticed in mine, and I'm going to go way different than you guys, the first 11 picks, it seems like, the programs are like projecting, a run on offensive linemen. And for me, the offensive linemen, the top tier ones, there's a bit of a gap between the top tier ones and then everybody else. And if you can grab a defensive end or a outside linebacker at 30, which I think that you can, and get a guy that can still be impactful from week number one, I chose with my 12th pick to go with Cody Ford, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, a guy that I think can kind of move across the line and could potentially be a replacement here pretty soon for one Mr. Brian Bulaga. So I went offensive tackle. You guys both go defense in that number 12th pick. Before we move to number 30 in the second first-round pick, how your thoughts on moving back from that number 12 pick? I've heard mixed reviews from people that say don't trade back. I don't know if people are just super gun shy about trading back from the Ted Thompson era, but your thoughts on what it would take for you to be interested in trading back from that number 12 pick, Chris?
It's going to take a lot, because it really comes down to when is the next time the Packers are going to have the opportunity to have a pick that high at number 12. Because, the Packers, they picked number 9 in 2009 when they got B.J. Raji, and then they didn't have a pick anywhere near that for the next 10 years. So I really feel like if you're going to trade back from that 12 pick, it better be for something pretty darn big. Now, I could see possibly if they get an opportunity to trade their number 30 pick back and maybe get an extra pick, but I don't see them trading back number 12. Number 30, maybe, kind of like what they did with when they got Kevin King a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those. I think there's going to be too much talent there to not take someone at 12. And I agree with Chris. I think that 30th spot and 44 are potential to use some of that equity to either move up or back. But I think you got to make a splash at 12. That 12th pick, I believe, needs to be a starter. I don't know if it has to be in the 2019 season, but definitely in the 2020 season. That player needs to be a starter and impact the Packers team. So I would not prefer a trade. If it happens, like Chris said, there better be you better be getting some reward for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's really going to have to – it would have to be kind of something that blows your socks off. Almost, you could argue, what it was last year, because, you trade back a few spots and, you got this number 30 pick, which turned out to be, for this year. So a situation like that, it's hard to get that twice 2 years back to back. And with it being that high of a draft pick, it needs to be an impact, and it's almost not worth it just to kind of do it. So we go to the number 30 pick. I'll start off this time, because I feel like mine is a little unique when I went through and did this mock, because I don't foresee a draft playing out like this where at pick number 30, this guy is still available. because he's somebody that could be projected to go number 15, even number 10, if possible. And when he was there at number 30, it was just a no-brainer. And that was the cornerback out of LSU, Greedy Williams.
I had the same thing happen, Dan. And you were, like, setting it up, and I'm like, he's going to come with Greedy Williams. And that's the first draft I did. I'm like, how do you not take that guy?
Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat right now when you were hyping that up. I'm like, who's he going to play?
It's Nick Bosa. No.
Yeah, right.
I mean, 30, I would assume, Matt, if that happened for you too, you go Greedy Williams there at 30 in yours?
For sure. And I'm sitting there yesterday morning, I'm doing these drafts, and it's the first one I'm doing, and I'm like, it's like 7 a.m., right? I barely have a half a cup of coffee, and I'm rubbing my eyes. I'm like, that definitely says Greedy Williams at 30, right? I'm like, just click, instant, didn't really think about it. I'm like, that's a great value. Like, I love that pick.
Greedy.
Yeah. I mean, almost, at least for mine, the way it played out, you'd imagine that flip-flopping.
Yes.
You know, Greedy Williams being picked at 12 and Cody Ford being available and falling to number 30, if anything. But great value there. Greedy Williams, I mean, he's a first-round draft pick, I think, surefire. So no matter where he falls into the draft in the first round, he's value in the first round. So Chris, your 30th pick.
My 30th pick. I'm going to be going with tight end from Iowa, Noah Fant.
Okay. All right.
I have him because, you know, of course, TJ is obviously the best tight end in the draft. He's not. I don't think he's going to make it that far down. But I think this guy here is vastly underrated. It's kind of crazy to think that the two best tight ends come from the same school. But I really think that because obviously going into free agency for tight ends for the Packers hasn't been as successful as we wish. So I really think that they're going to have to go into the draft to get a good tight end.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And, you know, Fant is someone that's obviously his name been around the Packers, one of these two first round picks for a long time now. So it's a couple of no brainer picks at pick number 30. So, at the second round, pick number 12 in the second round. Chris, how did you go in the second round? Because you've addressed now the defensive line, or at least outside linebacker position, and now the tight end position, which I think is probably what is being considered the two biggest needs. So where do you go in round number two?
Well, round number two, it really is based off of what they pick at number 30. If they pick defense again at number 30, then I'm going more with an offensive guy at 44. If they go with tight end Noah Fant that I want, then I would go more defense again at 44. So it all depends on what they pick before. But right now, 44, if they do go with the tight end at 30, I have Taylor Rapp, free safety out of Washington, at 44.
And that makes – I mean, this is – and I'll throw in mine here just to follow up because I think you and I maybe had the same kind of thought process where all three of us, we did our breakdown of the safety position because I went safety too and I went with my boy, Nazir Adderley.
Yeah, baby.
It was basically
a coin flip between those two guys. And then if they did go defense again at 30, I had them picking a wide receiver in round two.
Yeah, I can see that too, especially in round number two. And I think with the safety position, we tid on it a lot. There's a lot of guys that can fall to that second round pick for the Packers that you can take. And so I don't hate Taylor Rapp at that position. You know, I went Adderley just because that's the guy I fell in love with. Matt, your second round pick.
We're all on the same page, boys. I think tight end. I think, honestly, like outside linebacker, then tight end at 12 and 30. And then we talked about this, right? The safety position is super deep. Like, go get Taylor Rapp. Go get Adderley. Go get Thornhill. Whoever at 44, you just take it. I don't want to say you're going to take, like, or even Deontay Thompson, for God's sakes. Like, I'll take him at 44 if, like, he slips out of the first round. Why not? Like, I don't want it to be one of those situations where it's like, ooh, we missed on our top three safeties. We're going to take our fourth. But I think that's exactly where I want them to take the safety because I see it's very deep. I look at the drop-off between tight end and outside linebacker being very drastic as well. So make sure you get that in the top 30 picks. And then 44, I picked Taylor Rapp. I did another one where I have Adderley. So either way, I'm very happy to pair that gentleman up with Adrian Amos.
Perfect. So it's a mind meld here. We've all basically almost gone the same route here. So the first two rounds, and I think maybe that's why, because the first two rounds you kind of have these no-brainer picks available. So I'm interested to see what we get here in the third round, because now it's a little bit more, you know, where people are falling into the third round and what you have available. So hopefully we have a little bit of variety here. So Matt, in the third round, you just drafted a safety. Where do you go in round number three?
Yeah, and I look at the three that I already picked. I think those are high needs. We go to kind of maybe like a second tier of necessity, and that would be offensive linemen, whether it be a guard or a tackle, someone that maybe can play a little bit of a swing position. But I also look at inside linebacker, so and possibly even receiver. In my initial one, I'm going to go with who I picked. I'm sure a lot of Packer fans will be happy about this for more reasons than one. I'm going Andy Isabella, receiver out of Massachusetts.
Very nice. Another weapon for Aaron Rodgers that's always being talked about is, you know, get Aaron Rodgers another target, which he desperately needs, especially with Randall Cobb leaving. Chris, in the third round, where do you head?
I stick with the, you know, wide receiver going, because, you know, since 2010, the Packers, you know, they've made 27 picks in the first three rounds, but only three of them have been wide receivers. And I think they're probably going to break that because they really need some more firepower. And while Andy Isabella, you know, a good slot receiver, I have Miles Boykin, wide receiver out of Notre Dame, given that his great size that he has. And
huge.
So I really think that with the Packers, they've been drafting wide receivers with huge size lately. And I don't see that changing. I think they're really going to go with Miles Boykin. If he's around for round three, I think you got to take him.
Solid pick again. I love Miles Boykin as a wide receiver. I love, you know, any wide receiver pick here in round number three, because I think with the way that, you know, the wide receiving core is set up now, you still want to give guys like Equanimeous St. Brown and Valdez Scantling enough room to grow and give them the playing time available to grow. And I think if you take a wide receiver too early, like say in the first round, the pressure is there to immediately have them in there and start. And I worry that it stunts the growth of some of these other prospects here. So if you get a guy in this third round here, and maybe even a little bit later, it gives them the ability to kind of grow in the system a little bit easier. For me, since I didn't address this position early on in the first three picks, I went to the edge here in round number three, and out of Texas, a defensive end, and I have a terrible time trying to pronounce his last name. It's Charles Amenihu is how that's how it's said. Charles Amenihu. He's a really, I mean, just a guy that goes downhill, real quick twitch, super fast on the edge, not much discipline and kind of reading plays, but he's super fast on the edge. And I think at this third round pick, a value pick that is hard to pass up, especially with in my draft, not addressing that position early on. So those are the first three rounds. We're going to look at the rest of them here, but I don't think we're going to go as in depth in those. And so Matt, how about you just take us through the rest of your draft picks here? You know, elaborate as much as you want on your decisions or the picks, where you got them from, but just kind of give us a quick rundown of what you did in the rest of the draft.
Definitely. So I have two of them, kind of just going comparing and contrasting with that I did. We'll go for the first two picks and the fourth. We're going to go with the same thought that we already grabbed a tight end in that first round, which I think is super important. So that takes me to my other draft, which is Jaquay Polite from the DN from Florida. I don't see him being a fourth round pick just because I think he's more talented than that. I think we all know he had a really, really bad draft day, or excuse me, a combine. But that's someone I look at value, and firstpick.com says I did an A+ on his pick, and I would agree with them. So a defensive end kind of to complement Brian Burns. I think you're kind of solidifying those free agent acquisitions, and then your Kenny Clark and your Mike Daniels. My second pick in the fourth round would be an offensive guard. You want to talk about butchering a name. Ross Pierschbacher, I think I actually did okay on that, guard from Bama. I think that's a nice addition to the, you know, the offensive line. We go to the fifth round. I went with Lil Jordan Humphrey. Now, this is not the one where I picked Isabella in, but I think grabbing a receiver late, I see a lot of talent at the receiver position this year. Someone like, you know, Chris already talked about in Boykin. Anywhere within that, you know, that third round or that fifth round, I think is very important for the the Packers to grab a receiver just so Aaron Rodgers has another weapon and you pair him with LaFleur's offense. Bump down to the sixth round. In both of these, I went quarterback, believe it or not. One of them I went with Brett Rypien, and the other one I went with Tanner Mangum. Packers have had luck with BYU quarterbacks. Unfortunately, they let hit that one go, but I think that's important to have, you know, give a quarterback a chance to, you know, or maybe LaFleur a chance to groom someone. We're not going to, you know, the Packers aren't going to grab someone in the early rounds by any means. I don't think it would be a shock if it did. Weird things have happened, as we know, in Packers draft history. But I think that's important just to have, you know, LaFleur be able to coach someone up on his system, start from scratch and kind of mold him. And then my second sixth round pick, I went with Ed Alexander, D tackle from LSU. Again, same type of thing, just like with Polite. I don't see Ed Alexander being there. However, great value if you can get him in the sixth. And then the final pick, I also went with another offensive guard / offensive tackle, which I love the combo of Juwan Bushel-Beatty from Michigan.
Solid overall. I agree with you on the Rypien pick. I made that pick as well. I think this draft class in the quarterback side of things has a lot of late round value where you can, you know, take a flyer on a guy like that and hope that he develops into something, you know, a possible backup and maybe a trade asset like a Brett Hundley kind of was. And, you know, it keeps getting said that this is the same, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the same age that, you know, Brett Favre was when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. And so it never hurts to kind of keep looking ahead to the future with that. Chris, take us through, you know, what the rest of your draft would look like. Who are guys that you, you know, have your eye on, or at least just positions that you think should still be addressed as we get later on into the draft?
Well, for round four, the first pick in round four, I have Jermaine Pratt, linebacker out of North Carolina State. I got him because I really think that inside linebacker is still a huge need for the Packers. I mean, Blake Martinez is great, but, you know, you got Jake Ryan, who's gone, and then Oren Burks. Is he really going to make a huge leap this year? And so I looked at Jermaine Pratt, and he's a linebacker who used to be a safety. Another guy kind of like Oren Burks. Guy who was a safety, goes into inside linebacker, could really help with press coverage. So I think him at number four, round four, or even round if he's in round five, to pick him up. Then I start going more into offensive linemen because I really feel you can pick up some good linemen in the fourth, fifth rounds. You look at Corey Linsley, David Bakhtiari, and then TJ Lang, Josh Sitton. All those guys were picked in the middle rounds. So I looked at Bobby Evans, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. And then round five, I stick with offensive tackle with Mitch Hyatt at offensive tackle out of Clemson. And then in round six, I got Ed Alexander, defensive tackle out of LSU, and quarterback. I got only Kyle Shurmur, quarterback out of Vanderbilt, just because, not saying that guy's going to be anything special, but the Packers really need just a solid backup. And I know you can get solid backups later in the round, like, because you look at Matt Flynn. That guy was picked in the seventh round. So they just need somebody like that. And like Matt said earlier about getting a guy who can start from scratch with their new head coach, LaFleur. So, and then round seven, I had a guy. Sorry, you guys. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. I think you guys probably know where this is coming. What is it? Chidi Okeke?
Yeah.
Offensive tackle, Tennessee State. Dude, I saw
you nailed
that
it.
Guy's name. And that guy's name, I'm like, sold. That guy, that is awesome.
And because offensive tackle, I'm not looking at it just to replace Brian Bulaga. It's also because I don't even think they're going to even try to re-sign Jason Spriggs. So that's two guys who are going to be gone. So you're going to have to build up.
I hope
exactly.
Not.
So I think they're going to have to build up some depth at offensive line eventually.
Yeah. I mean, and then not only just depth on the offensive line, but guard play last year was awful.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you can find guys that can play anywhere on that line, you know, maybe they take over the tackle position later and they play guard now, or they, you know, just kind of move around. You know, I've always heard the term jars on the shelf. You know, you want to be able to just – if one breaks, you want to just grab one off the shelf and plug them back in. And, you know, I never think it's a bad idea to have quality, you know, looks at the rest of your offensive line. And interesting, too, again, we all got a quarterback in there as well in the late rounds. So for me, the first pick in the fourth round, I finally addressed the wide receiver position with Jacoby Myers from NC State. I think he's a bit of an underrated wide receiving talent because I think he fell into the quote-unquote system there at NC State. I think, you know, the way that Ryan Finley plays and, you know, the system that they do there, I think some of their talent offensively is a little underrated. And he's also a slot guy that I think can kind of hopefully fill in the Randall Cobb roles as well. My second pick, I now finally get to the tight end position, and I picked Elise Mack from Notre Dame, who, you know, when they describe his play, the Jimmy Graham style, where he's just a really big guy. Might not be the best route runner, but he's big enough that he can kind of make his presence still feel known. No matter where he goes. Round number five pick, I took David Long out of West Virginia. He's a outside linebacker, also played a little bit of inside linebacker at West Virginia as well. You know, just kind of again to address that the linebacking position for the Packers. I think he's a guy that will take, you know, again, a lot of these guys you're not expecting to kind of jump in right away. So he's a bit of a project, but I think he's one that can make it happen if so. And I followed that up in round number six. The first pick, I went inside linebacker again with Cole Holcomb from North Carolina. You know, the same, just kind of the same thought process with David Long. And then the second pick in round number six, just like Matt had, I took Brett Rypien, the quarterback from Boise State. And then in round seven, I'll get your guys' take on this because it's a wide receiver who is he's a big name, at least in the college football circles, you know, maybe not in the draft side of things, but when college football season was around. And in a lot of the mocks that I was doing, he always fell into the sixth, even seventh round, and that's Hunter Renfrow. from Clemson, which, you know, it just seems like to me, if he's going to fall down to seven, it's almost like you have to get him because if he's going to fall to you at seven, that you can't stare a gift horse in the mouth like that and pass up, you know, a talent that is, you know, has been as productive as Hunter Renfrow. But that's where, all of mine break out for the rest of the draft. So we'll kind of put a bow on this here, guys, since we've looked through our mocks and, you know, again, we're doing, and I think Matt, you kind of, when you brought up doing it on different sites is crucial because, you know, each site uses different, you know, algorithms and information to kind of project these out. And so, you know, what could be guys that could be dropping to you on one site, you know, are gone in the first couple of picks on another. And so a lot of these mock drafts are just so arbitrary. But I think really what the point we've gotten across is, you know, I think the Packers, no matter what they do, should be looking at just the best available at each pick. And I think overall, that's what we've kind of done here. So overall, Matt, Let's do this. Today, the Packers draft in the first round here. What's going to make you the happiest after the end of the first round today? And what's something, if they draft this player in the first round, will make you, like, the most upset? Outside of, like, if they drafted a kicker at number 12 or something. But you know, what? Give me a best case and worst case scenario for the end of today.
Sure. My my best case is, you know, I'm more optimistic, which is rare for me when it comes to the Packers of the last 6 months. But I would say optimistic wise, it's Brian Burns, it's TJ Hockenson. You know, it's maybe someone that slips out of the top 10 that shouldn't be there for the Packers on defense. So I'm happy with that. I guess upset, I would probably think in the top three, maybe even the top, I'll say top two. Upset would be grabbing a offensive tackle or a guard. I don't think there's, I wouldn't have a problem with the talent that's there. I know there's a few gentlemen that I've seen that can play both positions when I'm doing the mock drafts, but Packers have had a lot of success later in rounds drafting them. I would much rather that happen, but don't be desperate. That's all I'm going to just, the Packers put themselves in a position to not be desperate in this draft. So, you know, keep that in mind. Know that, hey, you are set up. Maybe a greedy Williams does fall at 30. Unlikely, but maybe it does happen. And just, you know, understand where your actual needs are. Try to fill them as best you can, but don't, you know, don't be afraid to grab someone that can actually, you could plug and play and be a starter in September.
Chris, same question to you.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best scenario would be to finally grab a great pass rusher, a great stud defensive player at number 12. Once again, Matt hit the nail on the head. To me, getting an offensive tackle or an offensive guard at number 12, I just feel you can grab such great players later in the mid rounds. For example, you know, Bulaga was a first round pick, and yet you can make an argument, you know, he was nowhere near as good as Bakhtiari. He was a fourth round pick. So I can always think of getting some good offensive linemen in the middle rounds and not wasting it on a high draft pick. And I know this is also crazy to think, but hopefully they don't go after a wide receiver as well at that high a pick. I feel with Aaron Rodgers and a great offensive line, they can really mold a great wide receiver that they can get in the mid rounds, especially because you're going to have to learn to get on the same page with Rodgers and all that. And getting a guy at number 12, you expect them to start right away. And that's not going to really truly happen with a brand new wide receiver, even if it is, you know, Nick, an AJ Brown or a Marquise Brown.
Guys, I feel personally attacked because I feel like everyone's worst case scenario was don't take an offensive tackle in the first pick. And
yeah, you heard that correctly.
No, and I respect that. And you know, Matt, maybe you kind of dissected me a little bit. You know, maybe I got a little panicked to take a tackle like that early on. But I'll still stand by my Cody Ford pick. I think you guys are right. There's really for me at just the first round, I want to see guys that are going to come out and make a impact very early on. And maybe it's something that we don't see, you know, the fruits of until a couple of years from now. But, you know, with this draft, I want somebody that's going to be a Clay Matthews or a BJ Raji type player, because it's been a long time since, you know, we've had a draft where we get somebody in the first round, at least I think, where you don't have to talk yourself into it being a good pick in the first round, where instead, like, you know, you get somebody and you're instantly like, this was an absolute home run kind of pick. Worst case scenario for me, I am really in the anti-tight end at number 12 camp. So I really don't want to see a tight end taken that high, especially with the players that you have in front of them with Jimmy Graham, and you just re-signed Mercedes Lewis, and you know you're already trying to work both of those guys into the offense. And you know where does a Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson fit into that? I just, with the number 12 pick, I'd much rather see somebody that plays you know, much closer to the ball. By which I mean, at least on the offensive or defensive line for most of the time, you know, somebody that's impacting the line of play that quick. So I would really would not like to see a tight end that early on. So that would be, I think, my worst case scenario. But, you know, it's not up to us at the end of the day.
Can you imagine if it was, though?
If it was up to us, I mean, we'd be the Oakland Raiders with John Gruden and Mike Mayock running the entire war room.
That's crazy, by the way. That firing or dismissing, whatever they did with those scouts, I can't even – it's par for the course, though, right now for them.
I cannot wait for the 30 for 30 that eventually comes out about the John Gruden return to Oakland. But, guys, it's – like I said, all the talk is now officially done. You know, we're the last kind of gas bag to throw our opinions out into the ring, and now it's officially time to go out and do the damn thing. So I'm excited about it. You guys, I know you've said you're excited. Fans are itching for it. So I guess we'll finish off. Just enjoy the experience. You know, especially with two first rounders, is a big moment for Packers and Packers history. So enjoy it. And make sure that you're following us, because, you know, as we go through these first couple of rounds, we're going to have great coverage of everything that the Packers are doing. Obviously, after the draft, you've got undrafted free agents and everything else. And then, you know, then the offseason really kicks into gear. So make sure you're sticking with us through all of that. Following us on Twitter, all the social media, at Packaday Podcast. Like, rate, review. It's a huge help to us. Guys, they can follow you. Listeners can follow you on Twitter and everywhere else. Chris, I always like to say yours because I feel like you don't always believe that I know what it is, but I do because you're at Chris Schimmel. Matt, still trying to learn. I know yours is a little bit more different, but you just tell the people where they can find you.
No problem. No problem. My Twitter is at Matt_Frey_. It's at MATT_FRA_.
Perfect. And then myself on Twitter at DK all the way. So make sure you give us a follow. Let us know what you think about our mocks. You know, give us your final ones as we head into the rest of today. But like I said, enjoy to draft day, guys. Enjoy the rest of this draft weekend. And as always, we finish off every episode with a big, hearty Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
With the 24th selection in the 2005 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Aaron Rodgers.
Who are you supposed to be?
I'm Captain America.
Rodgers takes quarterback sneak, reaches over, and the ball came loose, but it's a touchdown! A touchdown, Green Bay! Rodgers reached it over, and the Packers have taken the lead!
To announce the Green Bay Packers selection, please welcome wide receiver James Lofton.
With the 53rd pick of the 2014 NFL Draft, the 13-time NFL champion Green Bay Packers select Davante Adams.
I am Thor, son of Odin.
Rodgers' clean pocket throws the middle to the end zone. Touchdown and a dagger. They beat Morris Claiborne to the back line of the end zone. The Packers have won it.
With the 18th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jair Alexander.
The truth is, I am Iron Man.
Snap, blitz on, Allen running for his life. Gets by Reggie Gilbert, throws it back over the middle, and it is intercepted out of the end zone. Here come the Packers, down the right side of the 20 to the 25. It is Jair Alexander on the return.
With the 27th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Kenny Clark.
Halt! Smash!
Packers showing blitz snap to Cousins under some pressure. He's headed snap! Kenny Clark!
They have a deal in place with the Chicago Bears. Mack is on his way to Chicago.
I want to be great. I want to be great. I want to be known as one of the best to play the game. I always thought of myself as the best defensive player in the league. That's what comes with Mack.
Tell me his name again.
Thanos.
Read it. Run from it. Destiny arrives all the same.
I'm here to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative.
The Avengers?
The Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Sort of like a team.
Five letters here, just for everybody out there in Packerland and yourself today. R-E-L-A-X.
relax.
We're in the endgame now.
There's one goal here, always has been one goal. That's to win world championships, and we're excited to get started.
It is my pleasure to introduce Matt LaFleur as the 50th head coach of the Green Bay Packers in our 100th season.
I'm all about family. If that's one thing you're going to learn about me, it's I love my family. I did have the opportunity to talk to Aaron, and I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to get to work with him. I think he's equally as excited.
With the 12th pick, the Green Bay Packers select